Hello, this is Serena, and what follows is my commentary on the passage I read from Patricia Chow's Mambo Peligroso, pages 257 through 259. I wanted to react to this novel through the methods Chow used to shape it, music and dance, and for a while I did. The first part of the novel is a dizzying full-bodied immersion in Bronx-style salsa and the vibrant magnetism of dance. Even when the narrative expands outward in time to explore the respective origins of its characters, it becomes clear that Mambo is acting as a saving grace in each individual's life. Catalina, emotionally adrift and looking for a reason to stay in New York following her breakup with Richard, responds to the Mambo Peligroso flyer on a whim and builds a new identity as a dancer. Wendy, marred by heroin addiction after failing to qualify for the Olympics, finds steady work and regains the spotlight upon honing her dance skills. Oswaldo, fatherless until the age of 7 and entirely uninterested in school, is able to throw himself fully into the world of dance and make a lifelong career of it. Until about halfway through, the book reads as a testament to the intoxifying power and absolute necessity of dance, and it appears that in Chow's world, at least, salsa is transcendental in its ability to change the lives of those who participate. From Chow's explanation of the novel's formal structure, danzón to danzón cha to mambo, I expected, perhaps presumptuously, a progression of events that would culminate in some conclusion about the nature of dance, whether ultimately dangerous, cathartic, or otherwise. I expected the characters to wind ever closer to the passionate center of their common obsession in a frenetic denouement that would indeed prove undanceable for some, if not all. However, while the novel continues to reference dance, particularly by way of referencing salsa music, for the duration of its 282 pages, the sequence of events that remove Guillermo from civilization and Wendy from life have less to do with the irrepressible qualities of Bronx-style salsa than with various elements of human nature. Although dance is certainly what brings these characters together, I have difficulty believing it is the engineer of their respective fates. Despite the dance advice present in Chow's chapter headings and the extensive glossary discography that follows the epilogue, not to mention the little quote that manages to diss music's longevity and elevate the utmost importance of dance in under 10 words, the epilogue itself does not concern dance at all. If anything, the short paragraph describing Catalina's surroundings and her state of mind on the morning of her father's suicide is a prelude to the loss that so profoundly shapes her character. Her 31-year-old identity as salsa dancer is eclipsed, in the end, by this return to her original self. Even though she continues to attend Oswaldo's dance class after the events in Cuba, he notices that her dancing has changed and that she is not long for New York, page 281. She is speaking Japanese, seeking out identity in other forms, taking Louis with her. In the passage I read, Catalina makes 2 comparisons and expresses 1 desire, indicating a thrust to the novel that is separate, though not entirely removed, from the world of dance. She compares her actions at the time of her mother's death with her actions at the time of Wendy's. In Santiago, she was a better witness. Also, with regard to her mother's death, she expresses her desire to know the precise instant of leaving, or, lacking that, at least a memento. Despite the apparent specificity of her circumstances, this comparison and this desire form, in my opinion, a subtle thread linking all the characters. Just as Guillermo has no idea why Catalina broke off their relationship years ago, Wendy wonders when the Virgin Mary ceased to respond favorably to her, and Catalina is left without fully understanding the internal causes of her father's death. Oswaldo, who is himself a master of abandonment, is forced in the end to divine the reason for Wendy's deteriorating health and increasing absence. All of Chow's main characters miss the precise instant of leaving, as it were, and despite the recurring flaws, they are constantly seeking to become better witnesses. Of course, an examination of loss or the phenomenon of leaving necessitates an examination of the relationships that allow for such events to occur, and it is Catalina's chapter-ending comparison that addresses this point. Considering Oswaldo's relationship to Wendy on the dance floor and his subsequent relationship to Wendy's corpse, Catalina notes that, even dead, she was still his partner. What I would like to suggest is that the primary metaphor Chow employs throughout her book is less a metaphor of dance or music or stepping on two than it is a metaphor of the partnership that dance provides. The little blurb that pops up on the homepage of Chow's website says the novel contains every possible permutation of human love. Whether or not love is the right word, I do think the book touches on a good many permutations of partnership. Over the course of her work, Chow presents us with a partnership of human relations, parent and child, teacher and student, spouses, siblings, cousins, friends, lovers, fellow revolutionaries, strangers in a nightclub, the partnership of addiction, dance, drugs, smoking, sex, and the partnership of religion, embodied by crosses, sanctuaries, and prayer. Just as in Wendy's description, on pages 104 through 105 of her dance relationship with Oswaldo, there exists in all these partnerships a question of control. Who is in charge here? Another issue addressed heavily, though not always blatantly, is the issue of replaceability. How permanent are these relationships? Whether on a dance floor or through the bars of a Cuban jail, what determines the success of a partnership? To a certain extent, it seems that Chow is an advocate of at least two partnerships, the strengths of which are unshakable in the long run, even after death. Oswaldo and Wendy, Catalina and her father. Despite the character's attempts to replace or ignore these relationships, their bonds continue to surface at crucial moments in the text, and they ultimately return to their partners of choice in some fashion or another. However, Chow also presents us with plenty of relationships that appear to replace each other with considerable ease. Oswaldo's many dance and romantic partners, Wendy's on-and-off relationships with heroin and religion, even the impossibly close-knit bond between Catalina and Guillermo is suspect at the end, when, having sacrificed time and money to fight unsuccessfully for his freedom, Catalina begins to set her sights on Japan. Since she often chooses whether or not to interact with a piece of her heritage, and her heritage has been known to usurp her whole being, the recovery of Spanish, for instance, or the obsession with salsa, it is no small stretch to say she is in the process of replacing Guillermo with a new facet of her identity, reforging her partnership with a long-ignored portion of herself. Is this a positive thing? For an author who so clearly delineated the form of her work, Chow is surprisingly elusive, and we are left unsure of what Catalina's future entails. If we trust Oswaldo when he says she won't stay sad forever, we must also wonder whether her happiness, in the wake of saying goodbye to her parents, will be the product of stable partnerships, consistent and dependable, or chaotic replacements, as rapid as a string of shines.